8 Days of Hope is supported by a combination of donations from listeners and business partners like Provia. Provia is a manufacturer of residential doors, windows, siding, stone, and metal roofing. Provia is committed to serving their customers and sharing Christ in order to let our light shine before others so they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. More about Provia and their products at provia.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. Let me give you a good verse of scripture to encourage your heart. Psalm 40, verse 16, "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." You know, I think about that verse a lot. It's also in Psalm 70. When you wake up in the morning, no matter what's going on in life, no matter how challenging the circumstances are that you're facing, let all who seek you, that can be you, you can seek the Lord, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things Jesus said that you worry about will be added to you. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Remember, rejoicing is a choice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And so we just turn to the Lord. We look away from all the circumstances. We know they're there, but we look to him. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. You don't have to be glad in your cancer. You don't have to be glad in your job situation that might be miserable. You don't have to be glad in your divorce. You don't have to be glad in the fact that your loved one passed away, but you can rejoice and be glad in the Lord. He never changes, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he gave his resume to Moses in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Aren't you so glad that God is a God who forgives us? Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Now, that doesn't mean God punishes you and me for what our dads did or our grandfathers did. It means that we're going to be affected by that. And, you know, if your dad was a non-provider for the family, if he was a drunk, if he ran your family into bankruptcy, as a kid, you're going to experience the consequences of that, collateral damage associated with that. It's not that God is punishing you for your father's sins, but your father's sins have consequences that are outside of his own life. You know, what we do as parents affects our kids. And so the Lord does visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations, because sin has consequences and you reap what you sow. But all that to say is, regardless of the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, if you listen to the top of the hour, I love American Family News and how they just give you little bullet points in a short period of time in that little 5-minute segment. This is what's going on in the world. One of the things that they talked about was diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, I had a guest on the program just the other day, Kirby Anderson, and we were talking a little bit about that, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And you no doubt have heard the phrase that has been leveled against corporate America, go woke, go broke. Because if you're going to push an ideology and a liberal ideology and all this diversity, equity, and inclusion, all the stuff that Target does to promote Transgender Month and that kind of thing, and have these prominent displays in their department stores, and we're pushing this, and well, if you want to do that, you can do that. But here's what America will say. We're not buying your stuff. We're not going to do business with you. You know, I thought you were in business not to promote an ideology. I thought you were in business to provide goods and services for the general public. I think that's what your stockholders are wanting you to do. And the epic fail of recent history is Bud Light. I mean, everybody, when you think of Bud Light, you think of their disastrous marketing campaign with the confused individual known as Dylan Mulvaney, who dresses up like a girl and says he's a girl. April 2023, they came out with their plan to sell beer, hopefully to transgenders, and really expand the reach of the brand. Well, what they did was they alienated all the people that, not all, but most of the people, many of the people who drank their product. And Kid Rock, one of the celebrities, was seen out in the yard, the field, wherever he was, shooting up cases of Bud Light. You know, never again am I going to drink your product since you're promoting this garbage. Their stock dropped. Anheuser-Busch dropped 20%, and they saw a 17.5 decrease in sales as a result of this disaster. And here's the sad truth and the sad reality. The CEO doesn't lose his job, but 400 people lost their jobs because sales were so far in the tank. And I read this today. Bud Light is now no longer the flagship beer that they promote, that Anheuser-Busch promotes. It's Michelob Ultra that they promote because Bud Light now has such a bad and tainted name. Hey, you go woke, you go broke. And as you heard at the top of the hour, many companies are now backing off this diversity, equity, and inclusion, all this woke garbage, and saying, hey, we're just going to get back to being politically neutral, and we're not going to be making political statements, and we're just going to be in this to sell our product. All those are rolling back their diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, except Costco. And this was an article that I saw today on Fox Business. Costco board member defends DEI practices, rebukes companies scrapping policy. This board member's name is Jeff Rakes. And he's calling for maximizing DEI policies at U.S. companies. I got a cough here. Hold on. All right, I'm still fighting this disease. I don't know what I have. I think it's a touch of Ebola, but I'm beating it. So, little joke there. Anyway, so this guy, Jeff Rakes, if I'm saying his name right, R-A-I-K-E-S, he's pushing the board and the board members as they get ready to have their board meeting to let's go all in on DEI. You know, that's what makes our company great. And he tweeted out this, or posted on X, attacks on DEI aren't just bad for business. They hurt our economy. A diverse workforce drives innovation, expands markets, and fuels growth. Let's focus on building a future where all talent thrives. Hashtag DEI, hashtag leadership, hashtag inclusive economy. Well, is he right? I mean, is that what DEI does? DEI is a quota-based situation. DEI says you have to have so many people like this and like this and like this and like this. That's not based on who's the best. It's based on what's the color of your skin, what's your gender, what's your fetish of the day. And we don't have enough transgender people in our organization, so we want to hire more transgender people. Well, you know, it used to be that you got a job based on merit. And as Kirby Anderson and I were talking on Friday, you know, Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream, I have a dream that my four little children will be judged not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. And that is a great dream. And that's how we need to judge people. And we don't need to look at the color of their skin. We don't need to look at their ideologies. We don't need to, obviously, you don't need to promote and hire people that are so confused that they're a biological male thinking they're a female, or they're a biological female thinking they're a male. You know, listen, if you're employing somebody and the first thing they want to tell you is their pronouns, that's the kind of person you say, no thanks, we don't want that. And so Jeff Rakes also posted this on X: grappling with how to implement DEI initiatives at work, the Corporate Racial Equity Alliance's draft standards offers a blueprint for real progress in fostering diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, last week, the Costco Board of Directors wrote a message to investors urging them to reject a push to scale back DEI at the wholesaler at the upcoming annual Costco shareholders meeting on January 23rd. And so we'll see what happens in their vote. But, you know, it amazes me how people can be smart. You know, you don't get to be on the board of Costco because you're a dummy. You're a smart guy, seemingly a smart guy, but you're blind as a bat. It doesn't make sense that somebody would push for this, which is the opposite of freedom. It's the opposite of building a great company. If you want to build a great company, hire the best people that you can get. Don't do quotas. You know, we've heard things like Kamala Harris was a DEI hire. The president of Harvard that lost her job, well, she was a DEI hire. She didn't do well when, you know, all the riots were taking place. She wasn't a leader, and she didn't stop that and say, we're not going to do this. And so we need to get back in America. And I appreciate the fact that companies are rolling back these DEI policies and universities, as President Trump is going to say, hey, you're not going to get any federal funds for us if you're turning into a propaganda factory and you're just churning out graduates that are brainwashed into hating America and all this diversity, equity, inclusion garbage. And as Kirby Anderson and I said Friday, I pointed out, you know, in professional sports, they don't have DEI. Professional sports, the guys on the court, the guys on the field, it's the best guys, and they really don't care what color you are. They don't care about any of these other things. They care if you can do the job, if you can shoot the ball, if you can run and pass and block and tackle and do those things better than anybody else. That guy's going to get on the field because the coach wants to win and the owner wants to win. And that's the way it needs to be in all of life. I remember talking to a friend of mine, and we were going back and forth on this issue of Trump shutting down, cleaning out the swamp and shutting down programs in America that are just a total waste. And, you know, in that, when you start cutting things, good people will lose their jobs because jobs are going to be lost. And not everybody in every government institution or you know, office is a dud. You have some good people in there, and some good people are going to lose their jobs. But, you know, it's required. If you're going to start cleaning things up, there is going to be some collateral damage, but there's always a job for a good, hardworking, responsible, respectful, capable person. And so that's what we need to be. As Christians especially, we ought to be the best workers in the workforce, because as it says in Colossians, we're not working as men pleasers. We're working to please God. We're working for His glory, and He is ultimately our boss. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, a great life verse, if you don't have a life verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And as you do your job, whatever your job may be, do it to the glory of God. Now listen, I think that the hardest job on the planet is being a stay-at-home mom. My middle daughter is raising, Amy is raising, and Travis They're raising two wonderful little boys, and they have another little boy, Drew, coming in March. But life is tough with little guys. Jack is 3.5 and Chase is 1.5. And they're just busy little boys, and they get into everything. And it's, you just got to watch them like a hawk. But it's such a rewarding job. And so, Mom, if you're listening out there, be encouraged. What you're doing makes a difference. And whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We are up against a break, but we'll be coming back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about what happened yesterday in our government as the Congress secured and voted in President Trump as far as the January 6th, whatever you call that, my mind's gone blank. But anyway, they did what they were supposed to do, certified the election. That's it. I knew it would come to me. I had a senior moment there. And they certified the election. It was kind of, it definitely was a poetic justice that Kamala Harris had to be the one presiding over the certification of the election. And this is what Speaker of the House Mike Johnson had to say.
This was a landslide for President Trump, and we're so excited about that. And we got to certify that today and make history. We made history in a number of ways, Greta. This is the first time since 1988 that no Democrat in the House objected to the certification of a Republican victory for president. I think that's because we did exactly what President Trump said that we should do, and that is make it too big to rig. And we did. And this is a mandate from the American people, and we are very much ready to get to work on this agenda.
So too big to rig. You heard that. That was President Trump's little statement. Get out there and vote. And so if we just flood the voting booth with voters that are voting for law and order and common sense morality, that they won't be able to rig it. And so I think, people were very aware of the fact that in 2020, there were shenanigans taking place. Now, one of the things that just is just sickening to me is the lies that take place in politics, and especially it's not just on the left. People on the right have been known to lie too, but we have lies from the left that are just over the top. Now, when it comes to the sin of lying, Adrian Rogers used to say this: "You're never more like the devil than when you lie." Because he's a liar and the father of lies. Proverbs chapter 6 says this: "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him." They're utterly repulsive to the Lord. Seven things: haughty eyes, that's pride, a proud look, as it says in the King James. God hates that. Number two, a lying tongue. God hates lying. The Ten Commandments. What do we have in commandment number 9? You shall not bear false witness. Don't lie about your neighbor. A lying tongue, God hates that. Hands that shed innocent blood. We could put abortion in that category for sure. Hands that shed innocent blood, God hates that. A heart that devises wicked plans, God hates that. Feet that run rapidly to evil. And then number 6 on the 7 hit list, a false witness who utters lies. And then one who spreads strife among brothers. So in the list of 7, twice the sin of lying is mentioned. A lying tongue and then a false witness who utters lies. God hates lying. And Revelation chapter 21, when it talks about the glories of heaven, verse 7, "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Oh, what a wonderful experience we're going to have for all eternity with the Lord. Our minds can't comprehend what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us. But then it talks about in Revelation 21:8, after it says that we see his face and we serve him, and it's going to be wonderful, and he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I mean, we would all say that, well, murder is really bad. Being immoral is bad. Being a sorcerer is bad. Being an idolater is bad, breaking the first and second commandments. But lying is listed in there, and being a coward is listed in there too. Now, I don't know if you saw the news clip with Chuck Schumer, one of the Democratic leaderships or the Democrat leaders, and he was asked point blank by NBC News about what his stand was and his statement to the American people about Joe Biden and his mental acuity just a few months before Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama strong-armed Joe Biden to drop out of the race. Joe Biden didn't want to drop out of the race, but he did so poorly in the debate, and it was so obvious this guy is mentally deficient that he was forced to drop out. And this is how Chuck Schumer responded to a direct question regarding his lying.
I want to play you a little bit of something you said last year. Take a look.
I talked to President Biden, you know, regularly, off sometimes several times in a week, or usually several times in a week. His mental acuity is great. It's fine. It's as good as it's been over the years. All this right-wing propaganda that his mental acuity has declined is wrong.
Leader Schumer, what do you say to Americans who feel as though you and other top Democrats misled them about President Biden's mental acuity?
Nope. Look, we didn't. And let's look at President Biden. He's had an amazing record. The legislation we passed, one of the most significant groups of legislation since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, putting in 235 judges, a record. And he's a patriot. He's a great guy. And when he stepped down, he did it on his own because he thought it was better not only for the Democratic Party, for America. We should all salute him. We should all salute him.
Do you feel, as we have this conversation today, that President Biden could serve another 4 years had he stayed in the race and potentially won?
Well, I'm not going to speculate. As I said, I think his record is a stellar one, and he'll go down in history as a really outstanding president.
Well, you have to ask yourself the question, do you really think that he's a stellar president, that his record is so incredible, that he'll go down as an outstanding president? I mean, you have to be able to, you know, pull off the rose-colored glasses and pull off the team talking points and say, let's honestly look at what's going on. I think that's why many conservatives have an appreciation these days for Bill Maher, because Bill Maher is a big liberal, doesn't care anything for Christianity, thinks we're a joke, and, you know, the idea of God is ludicrous. But he will still look at things soberly, and he looks at the policies of the left and says, this is ridiculous. And so this idea that Joe Biden is just this wonderful guy, Schumer said, you know, he stepped aside on his own. Well, no, he didn't. The day that he went to the White House or wherever they met to have this meeting to strong-arm him to step down, he had said unequivocally, I am in this race, and unequivocally. That's how you say that word. And he said, I'm in this race. I'm not stepping down. You know, it's kind of like George Bush. Read my lips. No new taxes. And he made it clear. That's not what he was planning to do. And they strong-armed him into doing it because they have known for a long time that this guy is not able. So, hey, did you mislead the American people? No, we didn't do that. Well, then you're an idiot. Because if you met with this guy two or three times a week and you can't tell that he has slipped a lot, then you're blind as a bat. You know, I call that going down with the ship. I have trouble dealing with people who refuse to see the truth. They just refuse. You can point it out to them and that, nope, that's not the way it is. I'm just going to believe this lie. And, you know, you believe it all the way down to the bottom of the sea. It's like, hey, your ship is sinking. And so either you can come out of the darkness into the light, or you can just still cling to this lie. And everybody knows it's a lie. Now, perhaps you saw another clip. And it was Chuck Schumer, and he was talking about, you know, January 6, 2025, of certifying the election. We are not election deniers. You know, they're taking the high road. Hakeem Jeffries, we are not election deniers, as these Republicans are and were in 2020. Well, then they play, it was on posted on X, then it's 24 minutes solid of Democrat leaders, Hillary Clinton, Hakeem Jeffries, Jimmy Carter, Chuck Schumer, others, saying that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president in 2016, that it was Russia interfered with the election, that it was tampered with. It's not kosher. It's not legitimate. And it's like, wait a minute. I don't know how you people can stand up there and say, we don't do this. And then it's just evident out of your own mouth that you did that. I think about 1 Samuel chapter 15, a really key chapter in the Old Testament. God had given King Saul an assignment: wipe out the Amalekites, exterminate them. Amalek is a picture, we won't get into it, but Amalek is a picture of the flesh. And the only way you and I deal with the flesh in the Christian life is you don't manage it, you mortify it. You have to put it to death. And so he says, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up out of Egypt. That's a reference to Exodus chapter 17. And he says, now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Now God is God. God is the giver of life. God is not a murderer or a genocidal maniac, as Richard Dawkins likes to throw at him and say about God. God is the God. God can call your lease on life anytime he wants. God can't commit murder because he's the giver of life. And so God told Saul, this is what you do, and Saul didn't do it. And he captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lamb, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly, but everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. What they agreed with God on, they did. What they didn't, they chose their moral standard over God's. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. And then Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul has come to Carmel, and behold, he has set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul said, oh, well, they speaking of the people, have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel said, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and choices of the things devoted to destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And the Lord didn't want it. He wanted them to exterminate the sinners as he commanded. But Saul was so committed to this lie. Oh, no, no, no. I did what God commanded me to do. He was going to go down with the ship. You know, when David was confronted by Nathan the prophet on his sin, and Nathan the prophet said, this is what you did. And it was so much worse than the story I told you about the man with his little ewe lamb. And David responded, I have sinned. He confessed it. He forsook it. He got right. He owned it. It is amazing how so many people won't own their sin. They won't own their deceit. They just continue to double down. Hey, we can't be people like that. We see people like that in politics all the time. We can't be people like that. We need to be people that are honest enough to say, hey, I have sinned. Hey, I messed up. Please forgive me. You know, I still remember, I forget who it was that said this, but Richard Nixon, when they had him dead to rights with the tapes that he had, you know, somebody had said, if Nixon had gone to the American people and said, hey, I messed up. I thought I needed this. I thought it would give me the edge in the election. I really messed up. I would like to ask you to forgive me. People are very willing to forgive when you own what you did. But when you double down, then they're going to keep pressing and pressing and pressing until you say, uncle. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'd love to take your calls when we come back in the next segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or a comment, it can be related to what we've been talking about today, or it can be something else that's just kind of been rolling around in your mind and in your heart. I would love to hear about it. So give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. In this final segment, we'd like to open up the phone lines and hear from our listeners, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. It's always a joy to get to converse with you. So give me a call and let's talk. You know, the discussion today, I kind of put a blanket title on it, Going Down with the Ship. You know, whether it's DEI efforts from big corporations, and they say, I mean, they can see what happened to Bud Light. They can see what happened to Target. They can see how these decisions to push this liberal agenda goes over in America. And the phrase go broke is really true, yet they're willing to go down with the ship. The lies, the Hakeem Jeffries lies, we don't deny elections when he was one of the big ones that was denying the election in 2016. And Chuck Schumer lying, oh, we didn't deceive the American people, when it's obvious that they did that. And if you really think Joe Biden was, you know, on the top of his game, you're blind as a bat. I mean, either one of those issues, either you didn't see it, which speaks volumes about your ineptitude, or you did see it, which shows that you're a liar. You got to come clean. You don't want to say, oh, I never saw that, because then people say, well, why would we let you be in charge of anything? You're oblivious to what we all can see. But going down with the ship, you don't want to be the person that does that. You want to get off a sinking ship. You know, this world, you bring it back to just basic salvation talk. This world is a sinking ship. If you go continue to march on the broad road, you continue to go the way of the world, you continue to follow the crowd and follow the majority, well, where is that going? It's going to hell. This world is a sinking ship. Satan rules a doomed domain. He sails a sinking ship. We have an opportunity in the Lord Jesus Christ to confess our sins and to come clean before Him and be saved. He'll save us from this evil and perverse generation. Now, let me give you a good prayer to pray. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, the prayer of David. I pray this often. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Lord, is there deceit in my heart that I don't see? Is there pride in my heart that I don't see? Help me to see it. And it's good to have a trusted friend who loves you, who can point out to you blind spots, because we all have blind spots. And say, hey, show me, because I don't want to walk in a darkness. I want to walk in the light. So if I'm doing something that you say, hey, this is not right, show me. You know, because a lot of times, somebody said one time, pride is like bad breath. Sometimes you don't know you have it, but everybody else does. And so you need to have somebody that can pull you aside and say, hey, you're not seeing this correctly. You're not handling this correctly. And they can help you stand before the mirror and say before the Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way of me, because I don't want there to be hurtful ways in me. I want my heart and life to be right. 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The Christian life is practicing the truth. It's a walk in the light with Jesus. And you can't throw sheets over sins and say, well, I'm just going to pretend it's not there. You can't hide things in the closet. You got to bring them out into the light. Confess those to the Lord so that your heart is right with Him. Well, we have Shima on the line from Alabama. Shima, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, I pronounced your name right, right?
Yes, sir.
Good. Go ahead.
So I was calling because you said something that just really hit the nail on the head about truth and the ship going down. So we have a bill in Alabama. It's called the Choose Act. It was passed last year, and it's effective this year. So what it's doing is, the Choose Act, it redirects state money to private schools, most churches enjoy, you know, the 501(c)(3), C3 tax-exempt status. So this bill brings private schools under the control of the state through funding measures eroding the freedoms and liberties Alabama citizens currently enjoy as regard to private education. And this bill was pushed by conservatives. I call myself a Christian. I definitely lean conservative because of the values that brings. And I have fought against other conservatives on trying to negate this bill. And they have fought back, of course, and it's passed. It's now law. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that, because I have said several things on, like, to people on how we got here, why we're here, and where we're going. And I've explained those things. But they still, to me, it's a bait and switch. They still see the money. And if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, what's the case that they make that says this is why this is a good thing?
Their cases are, hey, it's all about parental rights. You're in charge of your child's education. There's no zip code. This you're going to be able to have that private school education like you always wanted. Uh-huh. They kind of also play on poverty. They talk about how some of the people with lower incomes, they need to be able to go to these good schools. But for a fact, we've always had school choice. We can move. We can go to that zip code. We can homeschool. We can pay for a private school with after-tax money. We've always had school choice. So to me, it's just a very deceptive bill that I feel convicted to speak out about, because for a fact, it's going to affect God being known once the revenue stream changes.
Yeah. Well, I would look at it like this, Shima. I think there are certain things that good and godly people can and do disagree on. We can see it from, you know, this perspective that says, well, I'm right, and somebody else sees it from another perspective and they say they're right. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's not necessarily a sin thing. It can just be, you know, Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement over John Mark, and Paul didn't want to take him, and Barnabas said, we need to take him. And there was such a sharp disagreement between those two brothers in Christ that they departed from one another, and they parted ways, and Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark. And so you can run into those things even among Christians where it's not, you know, if you look at it from one perspective, it's like, well, it should be this way. And you look at it from another perspective and it should be that way. And so you may be right in the way you're looking at it. But I think that's where there are some gray areas. Now, I'm a very black and white person, but there are some gray areas where we say, okay, I can see where you're coming from, but, you know, here's my, you know, argument with it, and this is the way I see it. So it's hard for me to say definitively on that. But I think, you know, this faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Romans 14, happy is the man who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So if you believe with all your heart this is right, and what we're doing is wrong. Now, it may be unwise. It may not be sin, but it may be unwise. And so that can be a difficulty. You know, when you're working on a team, you're working in a committee, or you're on a company, in a company, and the company is going in a direction, you say, I can't support this anymore, or bringing it to the church level. I tell people this all the time. You know, if you're in a church and the church is going in a direction that you don't feel is right, it may not be sin, but you just don't feel this is wise, this is a good use of resources, I can't support this. I just, in my heart, I can't support it. Then you need to go to a place where you can fully support. And we're not going to agree on every single thing, you know, in the church, color of carpet or whatever, but we have to agree on the main things, on the spine issues. We have to agree. The rib issues, we can disagree. And so I would just kind of, from a big perspective, you know, 30,000 foot perspective on this one, I'd say I would look at it like that and say, maybe it's just something that good and godly people can disagree on. Do you think that would fit at all in that scenario?
I do, and the pastor, when I went to church this past Sunday, he talked about change and how sometimes it's not wise to stay in your old ways. But really, I took away from that. You know what? Change. This is God's timing. God's in control. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. And with change, will maybe come, you know, new schools that that exude biblical values that will not ever take government funding. So that I was just walked away this Sunday being positive about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I think one of the things too, we have to be careful that we're not assigning evil motives to a person that we disagree with. Sometimes they can have a blind spot, and other times they can just say, hey, they see it from a totally different perspective. One of the things we did, you know, just like in marriage, Debbie and I, when we would do a marriage conference with Family Life, we would have a coffee cup with a handle on it, and we would show it to the participants, and we would say, what side of the cup is the handle on? And they'd all say, well, it's on the left side of the cup. I said, nope, from my perspective, it's on the right side of the cup. And so we were both right, but it was from our vantage point. And so it helps in communication if you can put yourself in the other guy's shoes and see it from his or her perspective and say, okay, I can see where you're coming from. Now, sometimes you're dealing with people and somebody has evil intent, and that's a different story. But it, just like with Paul and Barnabas, you know, I think Barnabas should have acquiesced to Paul, but when it came down to the end of Paul's life, he talked about John Mark saying he's useful for me for service. So I think he probably agreed with Barnabas that we should have given him another chance. And the Bible doesn't say in that disagreement who was right and who was wrong. But I'm glad it's in there, because that can be a encouragement to us when we get into these disagreements with other believers. And I do think, and I've talked to a lot of people, Shima, as far as church goes, because many churches have gone, they've allowed themselves to drift to the left. And it's important for church members, godly members, to talk to the pastor. Hey, I need to talk to you about this. Not to rail on the guy, but to appeal to him with respect, to say, I'm really burdened by the direction that we're going. You know, I need you to tell me from Scripture why we're doing this, because it's not the job of the church to seek, you know, create a service that makes the sinner feel comfortable. The job of the church is to come together and worship the Lord and magnify the Lord, and we have a service that is pleasing to the Lord, and it seems like so much of church has just gone the way of the world and try and reach the world, and that doesn't ever work. You can't water down the message hoping that the sinner will respond, because now it's more palatable to them. But I appreciate you calling in with that. I appreciate you listening to the program. So God bless you, my sister. Well, as we've been saying, you don't want to go down with the ship. You don't want to double down in your wrong opinion, your wrong view of something. Obviously, the diversity, equity, and inclusion is a loser for corporations. Don't double down on that, as the Costco board wants to do. When you've told a falsehood, confess it. And you know, people don't like to do that. They don't like to say, "Well, I lied." Why? Because if you lie, that is a character flaw that goes all the way to the core. That's not something that you just stumbled upon. That's something that you know that you did. I used to tell the church, and still do, listen, I have enough faults in my own life to add lying to the mix. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to tell you something that I know is not true just to save face in the moment, because time and truth, John MacArthur says this, time and truth go hand in hand. And given enough time, the truth will come out. All the things that were said about Joe Biden, oh, he's so great, you know, Joe Scarborough, this is the best version of Joe Biden we've ever seen. He's sharp as a tack, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, all America saw that he wasn't in the debate, And then they saw that you were lying about that. And as I said, if you weren't lying, if you honestly thought that he was sharp as a tack, well, you're dumb as a brick. Because everyone can tell and could tell that the man is not what he once was mentally. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. And tomorrow, I've talked to my wife, Debbie. She's going to be on the program. And we're going to talk about relationships and hope that you tune in. It's always a fun time when Debbie comes on the program. She always makes everything more fun. Well, hey, go out today. Shine for Christ. Share what great things the Lord has done for you. And remember, you can reach me, Pastor Jeff, at FromHisHeart.org. Or connect with me on X at Jeff, J-E-F-F, Shreve, S-C-H-R-E-V-E. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.